Hello and welcome to Torah Timacha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chavi Swidler Eisenberg, and today we will be studying Sefer Amos, Chapter 1. Sefer Amos is the third of the books of the Treasar, which are the 12 minor prophets, which are not as well known. Portions of the Sefer are used for Haftorot of Parshat Vayeshev and Parshat Kedoshim. The bulk of the Sefer contains extremely harsh messages and very difficult prophecies, which are both universal for the nations of the world, not just for the Jewish people, and then the book shifts focus and the primary audience becomes the northern kingdom of Israel. The end of the Sefer features beautiful prophecies for the future, and these messages are rather incongruous with the rest of the harsh messages in the Sefer, so we're going to talk about this and how it all connects at the end of our podcast series. Today we will be discussing some basic facts about Amos. We'll talk about the timing, who he was, where he was from, the structure, content, and style of the book, a modern reference to his prophecies, and we'll string it all together. First, let's discuss the timing. The opening verse of the Sefer offers us a thorough contextual introduction, which is rather unusual for a work of Navi. Let's read it inside. Divrei Amos asher haya benoktim metekoa. These are the words of Amos of the herdsmen of Tekoa, Asher Chaza al Yisrael, who prophesied regarding Israel, the northern kingdom, Bimei Uziah melech Yudah, in the times of Uziah, the king of Judah, Ubimei Yeravam ben Yoash melech Yisrael, and in the times of Yeravam, the son of Yoash, the king of Yisrael, Shnatayim lifnei harash, 2 years before the earthquake. So it seems pretty clear from the opening verse that Amos lived during the times of these two kings mentioned, King Uziah of Judah, which is the southern kingdom, and of Yeravam ben Yoash, who's also known as Yeravam II, king of Israel, the northern kingdom. Now, there is some debate how much they overlapped with each other, these two kings, but the consensus is that they lived and Amos lived at some point in the later part of the 8th century BCE. There's also a little bit of dispute in terms of when this earthquake happened between the Seder Olam Rabbah and the various medieval commentators. We're going to go along with the Seder Olam Rabbah that times this earthquake as 752 BCE. And this earthquake is referred to and that these prophecies happened 2 years before this earthquake. Now, what is this earthquake? Rashi on Yeshayahu explains that during the reign of King Uziah in the southern kingdom, he was also known as King Azariah, he was a very good king, but he did something wrong. And he tried to bring a ketoret offering, an incense offering, in the Beit HaMikdash, into the temple, which is something that is forbidden for anyone but Kohanim, for the priests, to do. And so even a king is forbidden from bringing such an offering, and he was dethroned as a result. And so this earthquake is combined with these events, and that's what Rashi explains in terms of the timing and in terms of the significance of these events. It's also noteworthy that the Navi Amos overlaps with other prophets, such as Hosea, Yeshayahu, and Micha, who all prophesied during the later part of the First Temple period, which is approximately 130 years before the destruction of the First Temple. Who was Amos? The verse refers to him as Binoktim Metekoa. Nokade is translated as a cattleman, according to Radak and other Meforshim. So he was a cowboy from Tekoa, and somehow related to livestock in some way. In Sefer Breshit, Yaakov's sheep, which were speckled and spotted, are referred to with the word Nikudim, which is the word for speckled. So we know that Binokdim or Nikudim are related, and so somehow Amos works with livestock in some way or another, either as a cattleman or as a shepherd. Now, he doesn't have a father's name mentioned, which according to Chazal, when a Navi is introduced with just his own name, without his father's name, it means that he's not the son of a prophet, which means that Amos wasn't trained for this life of prophecy, and he wasn't prepared to live like this. This part will become extremely important later on in the Sefer, in Chapter 7, when we will learn further about Amos as a very reluctant prophet. He wasn't trained for this. He didn't grow up in the home of a prophet where such training would be quite natural, and he doesn't want to be one. The Dat Mikra, which is a contemporary commentary by Amos Chacham, adds another layer to this prophet, to the prophet's reluctance, with the detail that according to Midrash Vayikra Rabba and Targum Yonatan, the word Amos, which is translated into Greek as psilos, means stutterer. There's a fascinating phenomenon in the Sefer, that some words in Sefer Amos appear with alternative spellings from their normal appearance throughout Tanakh, such as swapping out letters shins for sins, so the sh sound, the sh sound, is replaced with the s sound, or tzadi is replaced with a sin, so that ts sound appears as a s sound. Therefore, the Midrash draws from this idea that Amos had some sort of speech impediment. Interestingly, if we follow this approach, it's hard to ignore several parallels between Amos and Moshe Rabbeinu. Both were chosen for prophecy because of their profession as shepherds. Both were known to have speech impediments. And as we'll see later on in the Sefer, Amos, similar to Moshe, was a reluctant prophet and had to run away from a king who wanted to kill him. Where was Amos from? While there are a few exceptions in the commentators, most of the major biblical commentators agree that this Tekoa that's referred to here is near Beit Lechem, which is just south of Yerushalayim in the Judean hills, which is near the present-day Yishuv called Tekoa. Now, the modern-day Tekoa is near an Arab town called Tukwa, which is most likely the ancient town of Tekoa. And this is located southeast of Bethlehem, in eastern Gush Etzion, for those who are familiar with the area. Here's an important question. If Amos is from the south, why is his prophecy to the north? Keep this question in mind, as we will come back to this later. Let's discuss the structure, content, and style of the book. The opening words have an interesting start. They use the words Divrei Amos. These are the words of Amos. It's an unusual way to start a book, with prophecy from God. The Medrash in Kohelet Rabbah points out that this use of the words Divrei only appears in three works of Tanakh, Divrei Kohelet, Divrei Amos, and Divrei Yirmiyahu. These three works all have particularly harsh messages. Yirmiyahu's prophetic messages are about the imminent First Temple destruction. Kohelet, or Ecclesiastes, speaks about Hevel Havalim, how everything is vanity. It's a lament about the futile nature of life. What are you doing with your life? Why should we bother? And Amos contains intensely harsh prophecies to the nations and to Israel. This formulation shows us that the Navi really stands by his words, despite the severity of his messages. And based upon these opening words, we already know that it's going to have profoundly difficult content. Amos contains 9 chapters. In the first 2 chapters, Amos delineates the sins of Damascus in verse 3. In verse 6, we focus on Aza. Verse 9, we move to Tzor. Verse 11, we talk about Edom. Verse 13, we skip to Ammon. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, we look at Moab. In chapter 2, verse 4, we talk about Yehudah. And then he finally confronts the northern kingdom, which is his main audience. The second section of the Sefer is prophecies in chapter 3 through the middle of chapter 5, and it features harsh prophecies addressed to the northern kingdom. The third section of the Sefer is from the middle of chapter 5 through the end of chapter 6, whose prophecies start with the word hoy. And the fourth section, from chapter 7 through the end of chapter 9, is the section on the visions, and these visions contain mostly positive prophecies for the Messianic era. The majority of Amos's prophecies are to the northern kingdom in Israel, not the southern kingdom in Judah, where he's from. Keep in mind that for the bulk of the 9 shiurim that I will be teaching, I will frequently refer to the northern kingdom with the nickname Shomron, because that's its capital city, and it was often referred to in Tanakh with those words. I will use that term interchangeably with the kingdom of Israel, or simply the northern kingdom. The opening format of the first 2 chapters uses the following refrain over and over again. Al shlosha pish'ei v'al arba'a lo ashivenu. For 3 sins of the following nation, I will forgive, but the 4th sin I will not. After listing 3 sins as forgivable and the 4th sin as not, it names that 4th sin and then describes the punishment that it belongs to that nation, and then it moves on to the next nation with the same pattern. I'm going to play for you a short clip of a song an Israeli song that was composed in 1973 by Israeli songwriter Zerubbabel Shishkin, which uses the same words of Amos in a different context.
על אחים בצריח של טנק על רעי שאמרו אתם לא תעברו כאן גולני גולני לוחם אתם לא תעברו אתם לא תעברו כאן גולני גולני לוחם.
This song was composed at the beginning of the Yom Kippur War as an anthem for the Golani Brigade, Israel's northern military division, whose fighting forces were facing a fierce enemy in Syria. The poet riffs off of the words of the prophet Amos as a battle cry against Israel's current-day enemies to capture the emotional intent of Golani fighters as the modern-day agents of God, working to once again fulfill the divine prophecy of punishment against Damascus. You will not get through. You will not get through. Here are the Golani fighters. This battle cry still resonates in our generation. So let's summarize what we learned about Amos. We talked about the timing that he prophesizes during the later part of the 8th century BCE. He was a reluctant prophet, not a hereditary Navi, a shepherd, or some sort of cattleman. And according to the Dat Mikra and the Targum, he had a speech impediment, which reminds us about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Amos is in good company. We talked about the location of Tekoa in the southern kingdom of Judea, and that he prophesied to the northern kingdom of Israel. The structure of the book includes 4 sections, and the style and content and the rhythm of the first 2 chapters, which include this refrain about the first of, that for the 3 sins of a specific nation, God will forgive, but he will not forgive the 4th unforgivable sin. And then we heard a modern reference to a modern Israeli song, which takes the ancient words of the Navi and makes them relevant to us today. We will continue to develop this idea further about the 3 and 4 sins in tomorrow's podcast, as this theme extends into chapter 2. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.